Hello, and welcome to the latest in our Herbert Smith Freehills ESG Transformation series of podcasts on sustainable finance. I'm Emily Barry, a professional support consultant in the finance team in London, and today I'm joined by Stacey Pang, senior associate, and Manoli Shah, professional support consultant in our debt capital markets team. Stacey, Manoli, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Stacey Pang, a senior associate in the corporate debt and acquisition finance team at HSF, and I focus on loans.
And I'm Manoli Shah. As Emily has said, I'm a professional support consultant in the debt capital markets practice that sits within finance at HSF.
So we've recently published our eighth consecutive annual corporate debt report with the Association of Corporate Treasurers. Two interesting things that came out of that are first, the effect of inflationary pressures on the debt markets and the challenges that they present. And secondly, the evolution in ESG and sustainability linked finance. The interaction of these issues could prove interesting this year, I think. Stacey, what are you seeing in the loans market in terms of the use of sustainability linked loans?
Yeah, thanks, Emily. So there is continued interest from both borrowers and lenders. All market participants are keen to ensure they're meeting board and investors' expectations and are actively driving forward the sustainability agenda. You mentioned our corporate debt report. In that report, 71% of the respondents said they would be looking to include sustainability-linked features in their next financing. And of the different debt products available in the market, the respondents said sustainability-linked loans was the most likely to be utilised. When we're speaking to our borrower clients, it's clear that no one wants to be left behind, and therefore most are keen to at least consider incorporating sustainability features into their financings. But they are cautious that they're not agreeing to regimes where there are moving goalposts or they lack autonomy and transparency as the criteria against which they will be judged. And I think most importantly, borrowers are careful not to agree to a regime which exposes them to a reputational risk for what is otherwise a relatively small margin benefit. On the other hand, I think we're seeing lenders are particularly sensitive to any criticisms of greenwashing, which has led to the proliferation of policies and tightening of terms. So to give an example, we've recently had an experience of lenders insisting upon calculation methodologies, which are adjusted in accordance with developing scientific or industry standards. And borrowers will see this as a moving goalpost and a risk that KPIs set at the outset of the financing become unrealistic and unattainable over time. Thanks, Emily.
That's interesting. Our colleagues William Breeze and Thomas Bethel are planning to talk about their view of the evolution of ESG finance in the oil and gas and extractives market in a future podcast. So it'll be interesting to hear their take. Manoli, are you seeing a similar trend in the bond market?
Yes, in some respects. In the debt capital markets, it's definitely the case that ESG is front and centre in issuers' minds. And as Stacey has said, investor expectations are certainly a factor. I think we're getting to the stage where, you know, in some sectors, investors are starting to require or expect an ESG element in bonds. And investors are also interested in the wider narrative of how the ESG debt financing fits in with an issuer's kind of wider sustainability strategy. And on greenwashing, I think some debt products are more susceptible to greenwashing than others. And I'm thinking here in particular about sustainability linked bonds, where there's more flexibility because it is general corporate use of proceeds. So there's a concern that sometimes KPIs and targets are not ambitious enough. And it's increasingly difficult for investors to make an assessment as to how green or sustainable a bond really is. So external verification is, of course, going to be important, and we're going to see more regulating of providers in the future. And guidance is important. In fact, the ICMA has just published more guidance on, amongst other things, the materiality of KPIs, which I'm sure issuers will find useful. The final point that Stacey mentioned that I wanted to pick up on is calculation methodologies. So in the bond market, we're seeing something slightly different. For SLBs, you would usually have fixed KPIs and targets, which are set out in the prospectus at the time of issue. And we're now starting to see more recalculation policies being included to account for sort of potential changes in the future. But issuers need to make sure that these types of policies are set out clearly and that any changes to targets or KPIs sort of reflect the same level of materiality and ambition. Otherwise, you might be in a situation where you may have to seek bondholder consent.
Thanks, Manoli. That's interesting. I'm sure our listeners will be aware that the loan trade bodies internationally, so the Loan Market Association, the LMA, the Asia Pacific LMA and the US LSTA, have published a set of sustainability-linked loan principles and guidance on the use of these, which are intended to assist the development of a robust sustainability-linked loan market. Stacey, you mentioned to me before we started to record that you've come across some slight misconceptions in relation to these.
Yeah, so the sustainability-linked loan principles published by the LMA are useful as they set out a recommended framework of how market participants might set their KPIs and calibrate their sustainability performance targets. However, I think there seems to be a bit of a misconception as to those sustainability-linked loan principles being mandatory. We've seen some lenders require that sustainability-linked loans be declassified as sustainability-linked loans if, in the reasonable opinion of the lenders, any KPIs or sustainability performance targets are not compliant with the publication of any revised set of sustainability-linked loan principles published by the LMA. Borrowers are obviously wary of this. The sustainability-linked principles are stated to be voluntarily recommended guidelines, and borrowers have no control or foresight into how the principles might change over time.
And Manoli, do you see a similar trend in the bond market?
It's an interesting one, Emily, because the ESG bond market is, as you know, fairly well established. So the ICMA principles, and I'm talking about all the ICMA principles here, not just the sustainability linked bond principles. Those principles have been entrenched in the market for some time. And most ESG bonds do, in fact, comply with the principles. So for the bond market, I think there's more a shift in focus. The market has operated on a voluntary basis for a long time now. And I think particularly with the EU taxonomy in play and things like the CSRD coming, governments and regulators are now considering their options in terms of regulating the debt market. And I'm thinking in particular about the EU Green Bond Standard, which is currently working its way through the European legislative process. There's been quite a lot of debate about whether this standard would be mandatory for sustainable bonds in Europe. It now looks like it will be voluntary, at least for the time being, but maybe mandatory in the future. And interestingly, in the UK, there was initially talk of an equivalent UK bond standard, but the FCA has very recently issued a feedback statement about ESG and integration in the UK capital markets. And in that statement, the FCA effectively shelved the idea of a standard for now. So it's decided to take a more light touch approach and is encouraging issuers to consider relevant industry standards like the ICMA principles when issuing ESG labelled debt.
So it sounds like there's still a fair amount of change and evolution in the market. Do either of you have any views about the way the market might develop this year?
Yeah, on the loan side, borrowers will remain keen to explore sustainability-linked loans, I think, and see if they can work for their institutions. But borrowers and lenders will need to work together to strike a balance between wanting to ensure that the sustainability performance targets are challenging and achievable and navigate through the concerns around greenwashing, but also ensure that borrowers remain in the driving seat as to setting appropriate KPIs and targets that can work for the company. And I guess notwithstanding the keenness shown by borrowers across the board, I suspect they will still not welcome any suggestions that failures to meet sustainability performance targets will result in defaults under their loan financings. Borrowers would be wary, very wary of consequences of breach, whether contractual or reputational.
And from my perspective, from a DCM perspective, I think there are a couple of market trends, sort of general market trends that we've sort of picked up already in our corporate debt report that are worth mentioning. First, as I mentioned earlier, we'll see more in terms of legislative initiatives driven by a desire to improve transparency and standardisation. We may see more in terms of minimum ESG disclosure requirements in bond prospectuses. Second, I expect issuers to continue to place a sort of increasing emphasis on the S in ESG, so incorporating social KPIs into their sustainability-linked bonds, or issuing sustainability bonds with a mix of social and green eligible projects. And then third, I expect sustainability-linked bonds as a market to really grow. That market last year grew by 75% compared to 2020. So I expect that trend to continue and to probably have more sovereigns, more emerging market issuers, more hard to abate sector issuers, hopefully consider SLBs as well.
Thank you both very much. That's all really interesting and we've covered quite a lot of ground. If you'd like to listen to any of the other Herbert Smith Freehills podcasts on sustainable lending in real estate finance, oil and gas and mining, or aircraft finance, please do have a listen. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.